Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of No Really, I'm Fine. You might be aware that we are running a special series at the moment, which is looking at protecting our mental health during the coronavirus pandemic, which I am sure is in everyone's minds at the moment, and you know, everyone is being affected by this. Today is quite a special episode for me because I am joined by one of my good friends, Louise. Me and Louise have known each other for quite a long time, and normally she helps me through a lot of things, and you know, she's always been there for me when I've needed her in terms of my own mental health. But now I'm finding I'm speaking to Louise today about her mental health, because it's been a hard time for everyone, but an even harder time for the NHS. And Louise is a remarkable woman. Not only is she a mum to two lovely girls, she's also a nurse, and she is also a police officer in her spare time. So she's quite a busy woman. So hi, Louise.
Hi. You all right?
Yes. Are you really fine today?
Today, yeah. I'm feeling all right now. Yeah, I'm okay.
So you're a nurse and you work at a large hospital, don't you, Louise? And obviously your job is stressful at any time, but what's it been like for you during this crisis?
It's been very, very stressful. We've had good days and we've had very, very bad days. More so the bad days, really. It's been very trying and very tough testing times, really, as a nurse. So, yeah, a lot different to what I'm normally used to.
So when it all started, what were some of the changes that you were seeing day to day then in your normal role?
If you'd have spoken to me a couple of weeks ago about it, before we went into lockdown and everything like that, I was kind of like, and I will be honest, I was quite blasé about it, saying that, oh yeah, it's just another flu, everything's okay. I think people are worrying a bit too much. But then as I've seen the patients come in, I've come to realise that I was greatly mistaken, and it's a lot worse than what I actually realised. How patients presented was... yeah, they're not very well at all, and it's very difficult as a nurse, because you're trying to look after them, and sometimes it's just you're not successful, and it's quite difficult. But as a nurse, to look after people, really, when all you want to do is do your best and make them well again, and sometimes there's nothing that you can do. So yeah, no, it's changed a lot for me recently.
And, you know, how has it impacted on you personally then? Because as I said at the start, you're a mum to two young girls. So how has the whole situation affected, you know, your life at home? Because obviously your time at the moment is dedicated on looking after those who unfortunately have the coronavirus.
So basically, my husband and I came to the agreement that it was probably a lot safer for him and my children to be at home and that for me to move out. So about 13 days ago, I moved out into a dormitory of a local grammar school, and I've basically been living here. So, yeah, that's my life at the moment. So I'm trying to get some sort of normality, really. I'm going to visit the kids every day if I can, and I speak to them through the window, or but this week I went onto the street with them and I taught one of them to ride a bike. But it's really, really impacted on my life, the whole situation at the moment.
And you're not on your own, though, are you, in this dormitory?
No. There's lots of other people here. So I've got another friend here whose son has a chronic lung condition. she moved out before I did. She'd had lots of letters from the specialist saying that they had to keep her son safe, so it was safer for her to move out. There's another nurse here who's moved out as well to protect her kids. We've got doctors, we've got lots of different medical people here, all basically doing what they can to protect their families and their friends from, you know, being exposed to the COVID-19.
So, as a nurse, then there's been a bit of confusion, hasn't there, in terms of the phrases COVID-19 and the coronavirus. Are the two things the same, or
yes, the strain is it's the coronavirus, but it's COVID-19. So the strain is COVID-19.
So what are some of the symptoms that you've seen or you've treated people for in hospital at the moment?
So originally it was shortness of breath, headache and temperature. But obviously as the virus is going through the people, it's mutating each time, isn't it? So lots more symptoms are appearing. So I think last week we were told that diarrhea and vomiting had been added to the list. We've also had a really important one is the losing the sense of taste and smell. That's actually quite common now. So quite a lot of people tell us that. It's affecting people in a lot of different ways, but the main one obviously that we've had is the temperature and the headache and the shortness of breath. The ones that are coming into hospital are normally, it's mainly the shortness of breath that we're seeing with the temperature.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, you and I'm sure a lot of other people, including myself, originally thought COVID-19 would go away a bit like, I don't know, like the flu. At what point was it then in your day-to-day working life that you realised, okay, this is serious now?
I think it's possibly when I had the first person come in and seeing how badly it affected them. There was nothing, I think it was a patient that died. There was nothing that we could physically do to keep them alive. It just took over them. And it was incredible how quickly that person sort of deteriorated. And that's when I suddenly realised that it was a lot worse than what I first originally thought about COVID-19. It's a horrible, horrible virus. I feel silly now for underestimating how bad it actually was.
And obviously we're doing this podcast to help people during this situation and to offer them information about COVID-19, but also to offer them information about, you know, how to look after your mental health. But there hasn't been much talk about, there has been talk about the strain on the NHS services, but there hasn't been much talk about, you know, the strain on perhaps, you know, nurses, doctors, mental health. That's my personal opinion, but I don't know if you would agree, Louise.
Do you know what? I probably would agree with you. I mean, I'm really, really lucky. We have a fantastic team of nurses and doctors, and in this time of like crisis, we've all pulled together, and we're all supporting each other and helping each other. I am aware that the local occupational health department is offering counselling services, and I know that there's other services out there. Nothing's been offered to us, but, you know, it's just there. I feel really lucky that I work with the people that I do, because they're all amazing and they're just there helping me through it, as well as my husband and my friends. But as far as, mental health services, nothing's really been offered for that side of it, really.
And I know personally, you know, we've both struggled with our mental health in the past, and normally you would go home and after a busy day and see the kids, but that's different now, isn't it? And how has that affected things?
for me, it's not nice. It's lonely. I mean, I come back to this dorm room and I've got my friends to talk to on message or on the phone, but it's not the same. I mean, since all this has happened, I mean, I can't even hug my children. I can't even kiss my children. I can't hug or kiss my husband. My family, although they're self-isolating, if they were to drive near me, they wouldn't want to stop and talk to me because they're so scared of it, you know. So I feel like I'm also isolated away from lots of people, because of the job that I do. This week it's particularly hit me that I feel like, I don't know, I feel so, so isolated. It's been hard this week. It's been really hard.
What do you think about the clapping then for the NHS? Because that's been going on for about 3 weeks now, hasn't it?
Tonight, I mean, it's been amazing. It's been it's making me very emotional. I mean, tonight, obviously I work in the police as well, and a police colleague had asked me to go down to the local hospital, as he said that he had a surprise for me. I've gone tonight and there was like 20 police cars pulled up. It was a convoy. They got out of the cars, they clapped. That was truly amazing. It was, they're on the front line as well, but just the fact that they've shown out and given us their support as well, it's very encouraging, and it is very, very positive. It's lovely. It's nice to know that people are out there, you know, supporting us that way as well.
And sorry to go back to the doom and gloom, but
no, it's fine.
Is there a sense of sort of dread at the moment going to work with what's going on?
Yes, there is for me. I mean, I've got my 2 days off now, and then obviously because I'm living in a dorm and I've not really got anything else to do with my time, I'm obviously doing extra hours. I mean, I am part-time anyway, but I've increased that now. So, like, the dread is I get the anxiety just before work the day before. It's normal that people get, like, anxiety on a Sunday night before they start work on a Monday, but for me there's added stuff there. It's kind of like I need to make sure that I keep myself safe at work. I don't get ill and I don't die, because there are health professionals out there getting COVID-19 and dying, and you don't know whether it could be you. It is such an unpredictable virus. You just don't know. So there's a lot of added, you know, pressure on myself to keep myself safe whilst at work.
And how have you been with the media then? Because obviously it's in the news all the time, and you're working around the situation all the time. How are you with the media and reading about it?
Well, that's the thing, you see, I sort of don't watch the news as often as I should, I suppose. I don't really know what's going on in the outside world. I suppose I live in a little bubble because I feel safer there. But I haven't really been watching the news. I mean, I have been watching it because obviously I wanted to know what's happening with Boris Johnson, because obviously he's been poorly, hasn't he? So I've been reading it and watching it because of that. I haven't been obsessing about it, because if I obsess, it will just take over me and it will probably impact on me quite negatively. So I've not really, I'm trying to think and do other things. And like when I speak to people, I try and talk about other things rather than, because obviously I'm surrounded by it at work all the time, that when I'm outside of work, I don't like to watch the news because I'm surrounded by doom and gloom at work. When I come out, the news is just the same. I know it's happening and there's nothing I can do about it.
And at work, have you noticed a change of atmosphere among your colleagues? Are people more stressed? I know that sounds like an obvious question, but what's the atmosphere like on the wards and things like that inside the hospital?
In the other wards, I mean, where they are, like the patients are intubated, it's a lot more stressful. It's a new thing, isn't it, that we're all having to deal with. I personally, I feel so lucky where I am. We've got the staff, we're all supporting each other, and it's amazing how teams work in, you know, crisis situations. So from my point of view on the department that we work on, it's amazing, but I am aware that it is extremely difficult on other of the, you know, on the other wards. Lack of staff, lack of PPE, really extremely poorly patients. So yeah, it's the atmosphere possibly on other on wards is probably, well, yeah, it's possibly quite difficult and negative, really, because they're just surrounded by it all the time.
Has there been any positive changes at the hospital? Because I know while on the news we see, you know, the number of cases confirmed and deaths, there's quite a large number of people in the UK who've fought this and fighted it off, isn't there?
Yeah. Now, obviously, the ones in our department were obviously in the emergency department, so they're coming in to us. So we don't tend to follow on the patients afterwards. They're sort of transferred to the ward after they've left us. So we don't always know what happened to them. But there's a lot of people out there that obviously that are in the community that have had COVID-19 and they've got better. So the ones that we're looking at are normally the really, really sick ones. So, you know, they've been admitted to hospital, and then from there, you know, who knows what happens to them. Maybe, you know, we have had a lot of intubations. The other day, which is a really positive thing, was actually a friend of mine who had COVID-19. And ended up being intubated, and he's the first person to be taken off a ventilator successfully in our trust. So for
that's
that,
amazing.
It was, I know, honestly, it was the most, it was just an amazing experience. I went to see him on the unit that he'd been moved to after coming out of ICU. And I went at my own risk, but I said, because obviously when patients are coming into the hospital, relatives can't see them. They can only see them if they're at the end of life, and they come, and at that point they come at their own risk, you know. So his wife hadn't seen him, and she'd asked if I could pop up to see him, and I was prepared to put myself at risk going to see him, because I wanted to make sure that I checked on him and fed back to her, because, you know, it's not a nice situation at the moment, is it? So I went to see him, he was great, and then I reported back to her, it was just nice to see somebody looking so well from being so poorly when they first came in, and that they'd been in ICU for 5 days on a ventilator. And so, yeah, that's the only like positive I've known from intubating and you know, the COVID-19 virus. So yeah, no, that I mean, that's positive, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So when you finish work, is it, how do you find, I mean, in general anyway, but as all this is going on, how do you find switching off from work?
Can be quite difficult, because obviously I'm living with some of the people that I work with. But when we're coming home, I either go for a walk to try and switch off. I try and speak to my friends, like my friends have been on FaceTime, they've been on the text message. That's my way of switching off. I try to switch it off at the door as I come out. But then obviously I'm walking to and from work. And as you're walking through the streets, you are sort of reminded that we are in tough times at the moment, you know, because of the lockdown, people aren't on the streets, the shops are shut. And that's when I kind of like I'm reminded, but I try to be positive as I'm walking back, and when I get back to the dorm, try not to think about it too much.
With you mentioning before, is it quite hard as a nurse in general to sort of not think about the patients that you've looked after when you go home? If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, do you know what, in my job anyway, there'll always be a patient that you think about or that made an impact on you. So, like particularly this weekend, I've had a very bad weekend at work, and we've had very, very poorly patients in. I've had one nearly die, and then I had one actually die, and they've stuck with me. There's something about them that stuck with me. So, you know, there are experiences there that don't leave you. It'll probably take me a couple of weeks to get over what I've experienced this weekend, but they'll always stay with me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They won't go. It'll just get a bit easier when I think about it.
And how have you found shopping? Because I know a lot of NHS workers have struggled, haven't they, when they finished a shift and they've gone to
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and they've gone to the supermarket and there's nothing on the shelves. So I know it is getting better and panic buying is
reducing
thankfully, but were you affected by that at all?
The only time I was affected was the week before I moved out, because I needed to make sure that everything was in order before I went, and it was my normal time to bulk buy on certain things like bin liners, toilet rolls in particular, and going to the shops and not being able to get toilet rolls was just ridiculous, because I wanted to make sure that my family was okay. Luckily for me, where I've moved to, there's obviously a supply of toilet rolls, but like going to the shop and not being able to buy toilet rolls was just, I don't know why, you know, it was just difficult. That was just an added stress for me, because it was something else that I had to think about that my family didn't have whilst I wasn't there. But apart from that, the shopping's been okay. I haven't really had too many problems with it since moving out. And no, I'm pretty sure that lots of other people have had bad experiences, but like me, it was only the toilet rolls before I actually moved out that bothered me.
Yeah, the toilet rolls, I still can't work out why everyone panicked by toilet roll.
I don't know why, because at that point, they were buying too much pasta. They probably wouldn't have gone to the toilet, would they? So
still can't get penny.
Yeah, well, I've not bought any pasta.
So how are your daughters finding all this? Because it must be tough on their mental health as well.
They are struggling because Sophia obviously has additional needs, doesn't she? So she's understanding it in her own little way. Jemima, my youngest, is very, very, very tactile with me. And she's really struggling with the fact that she can't come over, she can't touch me, she can't hug me, she can't kiss me. And today she came over and she just sort of said to me, "Mummy, you think you're missing me? Well, times that by 300 million, aww, and that's how much I'm missing you. I'm just finding it really difficult." And that, so I just sort of keep saying to her, you know, Mummy's fighting a war against a virus, and I'm like a soldier, and I'm going in and I'm fighting this war. And when it's all over, you know, Mummy will be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did she say to that?
Oh, she was like, "Oh, yes, I understand, Mummy. I understand. You've got to look after the poorly sick patients." So, but it's still hard for them. That's her own little way, isn't it, of dealing with it.
Mm. And how have you been keeping busy or keeping your mind off things then when you've not been working and you've been at the dorm? Yeah, I know you mentioned walking.
Walking is a big thing for me at the minute, just getting out and walking. And it's almost like a power walk. I've just got to walk it out. I'm really lucky that one of the people I live with is actually my best friend. So I'm just spending a lot of time with her, and we're just chatting about stuff that we wouldn't chat about. But you know, that isn't work related. Just, it's like living with your best mate or whatever. I've been all right there. I've had her to talk to, and yeah, just try and get on with it, don't you?
Yeah. And going back to your working environment then, what was your own protection like? Was the equipment coming into you quickly? How was that situation?
So in our department, we've been really lucky. We've had the PPE when we've needed it. The only issue has been is trying to decide what colour, you know, what kind of area we are. Are we high risk? Are we medium risk? Are we low risk? And I mean, it's changing. When it very first started, it was changing literally every hour, and it was really difficult to try and keep up with the guidance that was being given to us. It was like, no, you need to wear this, no, you need to wear that, and it literally was changing every hour. But now we're all right, we know what we're doing, we've got the equipment. I mean, there was a time where, you know, I mean, now they're ordering in scrubs for us, so we're not actually wearing our own uniforms. They're giving us scrubs and then we know we take them off at the end of the shift or whatever, and we leave them there. But like, as far as the PPE goes, we've had enough of it, you know, we've got plenty of it, we're well equipped.
And in terms of, I know you mentioned going back to, you know, support for your occupational health and you wanting to seek that support after this situation hopefully ends soon. What would you say to maybe a nurse or another NHS worker or a care worker or any other key worker who's listening to this, who's perhaps really struggling and is just can't seem to handle that dread of going to work? What would your advice be to them?
I would tell them to keep talking. I would tell them to talk to somebody. I know that there's services out there. I mean, I was in the local shop today and there was just a post of all different services that are available. I know that there are mental health services out there that, you know, that have said that they're there to help you if needed to speak to. I mean, there's stuff on Facebook, there's stuff on the internet that people can access. I'm just really fortunate that I have brilliant friends that listen to me. I have brilliant colleagues that listen to me. I have a fantastic husband that's there for me. I would just, there is always going to be someone out there that will listen, and people just need to speak up. They must not hold it in. There's always someone somewhere that will be willing to listen to them. So I would just tell anybody, because it is a really horrible, stressful situation. It is causing a lot of dread. It's causing, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's caused me a lot of anxiety. I mean, I've told you, some days I'm all right, but other days it's really, really bad. They just should not suffer alone. There are people out there that are probably experiencing exactly the same thing. I found it good speaking to my friends, because how I might be feeling, I think other people aren't feeling. And then when I mention it, someone else is actually feeling the same way. And it's like, wow, you know, I didn't think anyone else would be feeling the same as me. So I just tell them to just speak up. Don't hold it in at all. It's just no good to hold it in.
Mm. And we've talked about, you know, you dreading going to work and that's having an impact. How else is the situation impacting on your mental health? That's a very broad question, sorry. I mean, it's crap, isn't it?
You know, like, it's affecting me in all sorts of ways. I mean, I know I'm stressed about it. Like, the day after I finish work, you know, what I'm doing is I'm sort of doing 2 days on, 2 days off, 2 days on, 3 days on, whatever. So the first day I have off, I'm normally quite stressed and it takes me a little while to calm down, and then the next day I'm okay, and then by the evening I've got the dread back. I mean, it is affecting my sleep. I'm not sleeping properly at all. I know it's affecting me. I've got something hanging over me at the moment, and I'm just waiting for it to disappear, and hopefully once all this goes, I can start to relax again and just, you know, normality will resume. Just waiting for it to resume.
When do you think it will resume?
I reckon we've got till about June time.
Mm.
I mean,
for the lockdown.
Yeah, well, for the lockdown, I'm probably saying another 3 or 4 weeks. If people do stay in and don't go out and don't socialise, then, you know, I think you don't know. It could be. It's just so unpredictable, though. That's the thing. No one really knows what it's going to do they? So, but I think things will probably start calming down, hopefully by about June time.
Yeah. I mean, the one positive thing about the situation I've noticed is, I don't know, people seem to be a lot more friendlier. People seem to be saying hello a lot more, or worrying about the neighbours a lot more, or, you know, checking in with people on social media a lot more. Have you found that?
You know what I'm like. I'll literally say hello to anyone. So I still carry on the way I am, walking down the street. And some things that I have noticed is that people jump away from you if you're not your 2 meters apart. But like, I've witnessed some really kind things, and it's kind of like, I know this might sound bad, it's a shame that the world has had to experience something like this for people to realise that it's important to be kind to other people. But like, yeah, no, I've seen some wonderful stuff. People really reaching out to the communities and trying to help other people. I've seen a lot of nice things happen. I just hope that it continues after. I hope it teaches people a lot of. I just hope it teaches people things. You know, that it's important to be kind. It's important to help others.
So, what advice would you give yourself at the moment?
At the moment, get some sleep, chill out, and be happy. But yeah, that's me. You know me. I just kind of like get on with life, don't I? I don't really. It's a really tough question, really. Actually,
it is. You often give out advice, but it's very hard.
So I'm all right. I'm all right preaching, but when you ask me to do it to myself, no, it doesn't happen, does it? I would advise myself is to probably just stay safe and be positive,
and reach out for help if you need it. Which you said you were going to do after this, didn't you?
Me personally, yeah. I'm probably going to, yeah. After when all of this is finished, I'm probably going to get some sort of. I'm going to need it with some of the stuff that I've seen and dealt with. I don't think I'd be able to do it on my own.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of people in that situation, a lot of, you know, NHS workers who are going to need that support?
Yes, probably. I mean, I'm normally quite a strong person, but because this has happened so quickly and some of the stuff that we've had to witness, I think there'll be quite a few probably going for services afterwards.
Does it make you worry though about the strain on the mental health services afterwards as well?
It could do, but then it depends on the person, doesn't it? I mean, if the person recognises that they need that help, I've always said since I saw it start going bad, I kind of like thought, no, after this I am going to have to sit down and talk it out with people, because it's sort of unexpected, isn't it? It's completely out of people's control, and that's something that affects people's anxiety, isn't it? That things are out of control. I don't know, people, you don't know how other people are going to deal with it. I know I'll be going for services anyway. I'll try and seek something out to help me after all of this.
So what's the first thing you're going to do when you get out of self-isolation?
What am I going to do? I'm going to go home and I'm going to hug and kiss my babies. I'm going to and I'm going to make up for the time that I've not been with them, and then I'll probably hug and kiss my husband as well. And then, I'll be home, won't I?
Yeah.
I'll be able to have my life back, and I'll go and see family and friends.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'll come and see you.